All right. Well, first off, I'm just going to state the obvious here, all right? Being a mom places a lot of demands on your time, or so I've heard. I'm not a mom. In order to meet those demands, it's easy for Catholic moms to fall into forfeiting time for prayer, reflection, sacraments, and developing a relationship with God. But if that becomes a way of life, not only do the demands of motherhood seem equally, if not more, potent, but the base of all of our life starts to erode away. What's a mother to do? Well, here to help us with some advice and suggestions are Karen Sester, Program Director for Cana Family Institute since its founding in 2012, and Kathy Carson, their Mission Outreach Director. Karen and Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here.
Yes. Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for joining us. All right. So let's see. Kathy, let's start this one. I'll fire this one first at you, but Karen, feel free to chime in on this as well. But being that moms are typically constantly giving their energy and time to their children, maybe share a bit about why it's important to carve out times for themselves despite this nonstop busy schedule.
Oh, that is an excellent question. Well, first of all, self-care is something I personally have learned in my own experience is very important, in that we can't give what we don't have. So in other words, if we're not filling our own cup, we aren't going to be able to be the mom to our children that we need to be. And, you know, so it is so important to take that time to feed our own souls and to be involved in small groups. And this is what I love about the Cana experience and what we offer to moms of young children in particular is that they have the opportunity to journey with other moms who are in that same stage of life, who are experiencing the challenges and the joys of parenting children. Specifically, our curriculum is based to the audience of women birth through fifth grade. However, you know, all ages of women can benefit from being part of the Cana experience in one way or another. So having that journey, that group to journey with through those joys and those challenges is so important. And the friendships and the bonds that are formed in these small groups are literally, they last a lifetime. And we have so many great testimonials of the transformation that occurs through being involved in Cana.
And, well, Karen, let me ask you, too, just give us a backgrounder, just in case our listeners aren't familiar, what is Cana Family Institute?
So Cana Family Institute, we're an organization that seeks to strengthen Catholic marriages and families, basically, and we do it mostly through relationships. And accompaniment is our secret sauce. So we have a leadership formation that continually supports leaders who are reaching out to those that we serve in the parishes, both the people that organize the Cana experience in parishes and also those that are participating. So we really focus on the relationships are what strengthen us, and that through small groups, the relationships within those families with other families is so important for building communities, for strengthening their resolve. And so we have an intentional curriculum that moms go through together. And we also have support for the parish that helps them promote and mentor the moms. And then we have support for the people who lead the small groups themselves. Mm-hmm. So we are just, you know, think about it as like just circling around those families in every way and being there to accompany them through, like Kathy said, the ups and downs of life and give them courage, give them focus, strengthen their resolve, which is proven, you know, psychologically that small groups just help people be supported and work through things before they really become problems, get this early support. Really can put families on a trajectory towards flourishing. So we're really excited that we get to work with families at that stage.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've already intimated some of these things. And Karen, let me stick with you for just a second. What's kind of magic about small groups when you're talking about some of these things? Why small groups?
Yeah, so small groups, it gives people the community. So people, we are made for community, as John Paul II says. And we are living in a society that pretty much it focuses on autonomy. And when we want to just be by ourselves with our headphones in or our computer on, it seems easier, but we're not flourishing as human beings. We go to heaven, you know, we worship as a community for a reason and at Mass every Sunday, and because we are part of a community. But people don't always feel so connected that way in their parish. And so to be in a small group with other moms that are in your same state in life, it can change. It changes everything. It gives you a sense of belonging immediately because you're seen. Like, if there's 10 people there, you see each other. You see each other's lives. You see what's happening. You grow from the best of each other. So if one mom is really great with her husband, but not so great with her kids, and someone else is great with their kids, but not so great with their husband, you all grow to the level of the greatness of each other. So it just provides this natural mentoring among yourselves. And then also the leaders of those groups, when they're trained, it provides that mentoring and that energy that's always coming into that level. So that's why the church is so focused right now on small groups that are headed in an intentional path toward greater flourishing and truth and, you know, beauty and love. So it's an exciting time to be in our church.
It is. It is indeed. Kathy, let me ask you the same question from your own perspective. Why small groups? What's so great about small groups?
Well, and, you know, echo what Karen had just said, too. It is within the small group experience that transformation can indeed take place, and it's the way that Jesus formed the apostles.
Yeah,
you know,
enough.
He established friendships with these broken men that were flawed, you know, as we all are. We're all sinners. We're all at various stages of our spiritual journeys. However, he used friendship and fellowship and community and created that bond of trust. And as he taught them, and then he sent them out. I mean, that's what, you know, missionary discipleship really is, right? And so, but then he had them come back in and gather them again and form them some more. So that's kind of the model that we follow with the leadership formation that is offered to the facilitators of the small groups by trainers that go through, you know, that we have a certification program for our trainers. You don't have to be a theologian to lead these small groups because we're all, you know, all of the training is provided and we're all the curriculum, which is another key piece to the small groups we offer is, you know, has received the imprimatur. So it's like if you don't know the answer, you know where to find it, you know, yes. And we have the magisterium and the teachings of the church that that are our guide, you know, that we follow.
Sure.
It's not someone's opinion. So we have that that as well to offer. And if I look back in my own personal life and my own personal journey, it's always been the mentorship and the women that I've been involved in small groups with that have truly carried me through. And also within my own family, when I've asked people in various meetings that I've had, who was the one person in your life that has influenced you the most in your faith life? Mm-hmm. And very often it's someone from within their own family, like the mom. And I would say the same for myself. And so as moms and dads, it is important for us to know and to own that we are the formators of our families and our children. And we also have an influence in the communities, too, that we live life in. And it's so joyful to live life with people who are, you know, like-minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of that kind of support to be found within the context of small groups. So, yep, good apologetic for small groups from you both. Thank you for that. Karen, let me go back to you and ask about the logistics of these small groups put on by the Cana Family Institute, especially for young moms here. How frequently do the mothers meet?
Yeah, good question. So the moms meet twice a month in their parish or school, September through May, so it goes through the school year. The meetings are about an hour and a half long, and they can be whenever it works best for that parish. And a lot of parishes provide childcare, so the So moms that are home during the day can meet then, and nice. Then they can also meet in the evenings.
Okay, very good. And as Kathy was just saying, so the curriculum is all there, and it's all been approved, et cetera, has the imprimatur, and it's pretty much a slated. Is there teaching time and discussion time? Is there reading and reflection time? What does that look like, Karen?
Yeah, really good question. So every small group follows a certain format. That brings in, they do a gospel reflection, or maybe the church more commonly refers to it as a lectio divina now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they start with that. So many times the moms come in, they've never done this before, they've never heard God speaking to them through the scriptures, and it's really a beautiful introduction to their own personal prayer life. Mm-hmm. So they start with that. They do a really light overview of the catechism. Mm-hmm. So they might have two questions, like, what is grace? And I know when I was in it myself, like, I had never even talked about grace before. And now my whole life stands on it, right? So it introduces them to the entire catechism throughout this four-year process, which they commit to 1 year at a time. So, but they stay with their same group through the 4 years, so they get these deep relationships. Everything goes deeper year by year. So it's not like when you bring in new people every year, you kind of start at their level again, whereas these groups can go deeper throughout the four-year process. So they have the gospel reflection, they have the catechesis, and then they have a discussion on a certain subject matter or church document. And that's really the most of what they're talking about, and it goes through what does the church say about these topics, what does the world say, and then how do we bridge the gap? And bridging the gap is lived out in a resolution that they make at the end of every single meeting, and they live out that resolution, everyone the same resolution, for the next 2 weeks, which is amazing, the tremendous grace that they get to grow in virtue in these ways in their homes. So one example of a resolution that's early on in the program, I remember it from when I participated in this programming years ago, that it challenged the moms it was talking about John Paul II's theme of fairest love, and which sounds really lofty, and what does that mean, and whatever, in my life. Like, I want something that's going to mean something in my life today. And then the moms make a resolution saying that I'm going to go, when I see my husband at the end of the day, that I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to greet him with a smile and a kiss. And it is amazing how that one simple resolution that I know all the other moms are doing this too, how hard it is, and how it also changes everything in their home.
Yeah.
I'm still doing it today. Like, my husband will say,
"You are.
Hey, what
oh, great.
Me if I forget, right?"
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, yeah, I think that's great. I think that's great. So long as you're not requiring the husbands to do the same. No, I'm just kidding. I understand, after 20 plus years of marriage under my belt, I understand that's not always the easiest thing in the world to do.
It's
in
really
fact,
hard.
It can be a challenge. That's right. I like that, Karen. Thank you for that. Kathy, I just a couple minutes remaining here, but I wanted to ask you too. I don't know if this is part of your job as Mission Outreach Director for Cana Family Institute, but getting young moms interested in participating in a small group, what are some of the obstacles you face and how do you overcome them?
Well, I think that some of the obstacles that, you know, young moms in particular face in these challenging times is time. And in particular, we have a lot of two-parent working families, and I think sometimes that is also a challenge of taking time away from the family and to meet in a small group in the evenings. But what we encourage to overcome this challenge is to invite and just to, look at it as a way to form friendships with women who are in that same stage, and to know that you are going to have a group that is just for you, that you get together every other week, and that you have an opportunity for adult, friendship. Oftentimes,
sure.
With when you have little kids, that you don't have a lot of adult interaction, and to give it a try for a few weeks. And what we find is that the friendships and the bonds there. So we even say, like, some of the documents and things, like, we know are are fairly lofty, and some of the things that they're reading are maybe things that they've never read before. But we say, even if you don't even have it done, show up, because you are going to find that the bonds and the relationships, and you're going to learn from each other too, just in the discussion, but that as you grow in your deepening of your faith and the friendship, mm-hmm. that you're going to find that you are going to prioritize and you're going to want to do that. And it's kind of this virtuous circle that we call it, where they begin with the invitation, and as they journey along, it becomes that transformative process that literally leads to not only taking it in their own family and living it within their own family, but then going out and into their community into becoming those missionary disciples so that mm-hmm. they want to draw others in.
Yeah, wonderful. Well-spoken and virtuous circle. I like that a lot, too. All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic. Oh, Karen, quickly from you, website for the Cana Family Institute?
Yes, CanaFamilyInstitute.com.
Well, that's easy enough.
Yep, and there's small groups already set up. You just click, join a group, and it'll take you, and you can search where the groups are meeting, and you can go in there today and join a group. The groups here will start after the synod groups end. To honor all the graces coming through the Synod in our diocese. So they won't start until mid-November.
Okay, got it. Wonderful. Well, Karen Sester, Kathy Carson, thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic. God bless you both.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Bless you, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to go into our first break. When we come back, how one man goes from being an Anglican minister to being a Catholic priest, all with a wife and kids. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.